RCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Federal immigration operations are taking a high-profile public approach. ABC's Aaron Katursky in New York says Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem was at the arrest of a suspected gang member in New York City.
She arrived in New York City early this morning to accompany personnel from multiple federal agencies, tweeting photos, videos, and a message. And we're quoting here that dirtbags like this will continue to be removed from our streets.
There's uncertainty over aid programs after the White House Budget Office ordered a freeze on all grants and aid aside from Social Security and Medicare in order to evaluate if the spending is consistent with President Trump's policies. Consumer confidence fell for the second straight month in January. That measures Americans' assessment of economic conditions and their outlook for the next 6 months. Shares of NVIDIA trading higher today after the chipmaker lost almost $600 billion in market cap Monday. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. On Friday, the Wisconsin Supreme Court agreed to hear arguments in a lawsuit over $50 million of funding to overhaul how public schools teach their students to read. Republican lawmakers sued Governor Tony Evers following line item vetoes on the bill, which gave the Department of Public Instruction the authority to decide how that money is spent rather than the state legislature. Since that partial veto, the Republican-controlled legislature has refused to release the funding, which could lead to the money being added to the budget surplus. Wisconsin nonprofits that support victims of domestic violence are looking for solutions as federal funding cuts limit their ability to continue offering their current level of service. According to a WPR report, a number of those nonprofits are now facing significant delays and backlog with reduced funding through the Victims of Crime Act, forcing them to reduce staff and sometimes even turn away cases that they would have otherwise accepted. Some organizations have reported losing as much as 70% of their funding through VOCA. The Wisconsin Natural Resources Board has approved an increase in the bear harvest quota for 2025, as well as an increase in the number of licenses issued. Under the new regulations, the bear quota will be raised by 6% to nearly 4,100 bears, and the number of licenses issued will be raised by 14% to over 13,000. The changes come after an especially strong bear hunting season in 2024, which saw hunters harvest about 4,300 bears. The 2023 bear season saw less than 3,000 bears harvested in total. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
A Packers coach gets a contract extension. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers have signed Rich Bisaccia to a two-year contract extension. The 64-year-old Bisaccia is the special teams coordinator and assistant head coach. In his 3 years in Green Bay, he's improved their special teams ranking slightly, but is also viewed as a close advisor to Matt LaFleur. The team has also hired back Luke Getsy as an assistant coach. Getsy has served as an offensive coordinator for the Bears and the Raiders. It's possible Adam Stanovich could be hired away by another team as a coordinator who could be the play caller on game day. NBA, the Bucks with a 125-110 win over the Utah Jazz. Giannis and Damian Lillard each with 35 points. Chris Middleton off the bench with 22. Head coach Doc Rivers.
You could see Chris had live legs tonight, and that was good. As a staff, we have to be very patient with it.
The Bucks road trip continues tonight against the Portland Trail Blazers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Mostly sunny and mild today, but continued breezy. Highs in the mid-40s, wind gusts as high as 35 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy skies and continued mild, lows in the upper 20s. That wind will still be noticeable, though. Wind gusts as high as 30 miles per hour. Right now, it's 28 degrees.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Seems everywhere in this state, housing has just gotten so expensive. Our current president ran on promises to help the middle class, and I'd like to know what he's going to do about the housing shortages. I went through the executive orders. I read through the speech transcript a couple of times. Nothing he really said or did in the first couple days has anything to do with helping the middle class.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Entertainment reporter Chris Foran. Then I'm joined by Wisconsin native and Brooklyn-based stand-up comedian Olivia Witt. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, and Kevin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. The number is the same if you want to call or text. It's 855-752-4842. You can also comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Tuesday, January 28th. The average price of a gallon of 2% milk in Wisconsin, $3.08. And the average price of a dozen large eggs here in the state, $5.09. All kinds of things coming up on the show today. Maggie Dawn will be joining us coming up at 10:33. Of course, you can catch her show every weekday from 2 to 4 p.m. across Civic Media. We're going to talk about Donald Trump now firing 15 inspectors general last Friday night.
You know.
Which actually, you have to kind of go through a process. That didn't happen.
Process, schmasses.
Yeah, that seems to be the feeling. And also looking at some internal review about the January 6th cases. We're going to talk about that a little bit as well. Next hour, we're going to continue our ongoing series, Getting to Know Brad. Brad Schimmel running for the Wisconsin Supreme Court against Susan Crawford. We are going to see an unbelievable amount of money poured into the state.
Already have.
Yep. You're starting to see. I saw my first ad last week.
I've seen a pro Schimmel and a negative ad against him. Not a Crawford ad, but just a
PAC ad.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to be seeing lots and lots of those up until the April election. The primary is February 18th. And we're going to reach out to the League of Women Voters and get them back on to try and break some of these things down. It's really important that we're voters.
It really is.
I know there's a lot of folks who are disheartened, and it's like, why bother? We still need to bother.
Well, I will say this, too. That is what people want you to feel. They want you to feel disheartened, disenfranchised, uninterested, apathetic. We get it. I just wanted to be able to not talk about elections for a week.
Wouldn't that be nice?
But that's not where we're at. That's not the state we live in, and we need to be fired up. We need to be informed, ready to go, get the information you need. Listen to us. Listen to other people. Talk to friends and family. But you need to be involved. They count on you being worn out.
And being checked out.
Exactly.
Definitely. And again, we completely get it. Yeah. We would like to check out, too.
Yeah.
I can't do that. We're not going to do that, so we will be here for you.
I can't check out. By the way, bye, everybody. I'm going out again.
Oh, yeah. Says the guy as he's heading out the door for a couple of days. Well-deserved time off.
Thank you.
Also, next hour, we're going to do a little traitor update. You know, those great patriots that were so unfairly jailed after attacking the U.S. Capitol on January 6th of 2021. Well, Donald Trump released all of them.
Yeah.
All 1,500 plus. Complete and full pardons. Two of them.
Already
making news.
Not even a week.
Yep, making the news. All the best people. All the best traitors. Coming up at 11:33, we're going to talk about whether or not this school chancellor, who along with his wife or partner, starred in adult pornography.
I wouldn't say starred, like they've self-produced.
Well, there's the stars.
Yeah, okay, I guess.
And he wants his job back.
His porn star job back?
No, his position at UW lacrosse back.
Oh, I feel like the other one would be much more fun. But,
so we're going to talk about whether, should he get his job back?
Yeah.
Would you have a problem with that? Do you not have a problem with that? That's 11:33. We'll wrap it all up as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Oh Baby edition. Yeah. And if you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me. Jane Says, JaneSays, Jane Says, at civicmedia.us. Wanted to start off today, though, with a little update on our senior senator here in Wisconsin, Ron Johnson.
Ron Johnson.
He tells Upfront, this from WisPolitics, he is pushing for recess appointments of Trump cabinet picks.
Oh, man, what a...
He wants his GOP colleagues to pursue recess appointments to get Trump's cabinet nominees appointed as quickly as possible. Just give them, you know, who needs hearings? Who needs hearings? Who needs to question, I don't know, Robert Kennedy Jr. about whether or not he believes in vaccines? Now that bird flu continues to be a growing issue in this country, nothing to worry about.
You realize that some of the people who you're talking about don't believe birds are real. So really, it's going to be a hard time cracking that nut.
Birds are real.
Well,
I hate to be the one to drop that on you.
Liberal rag, Matt Nair on Air show of just the left Looney Tunes.
Birds are real.
Gravity's a thing.
Yeah, well, I guess we have a clip from our senior senator. Gavin, let's play that clip from Ron Johnson, please.
I hope people recognize the real abuse and obstruction being put up by Democrats. Within 3 days, President Obama had 12 of his cabinet nominees approved and confirmed.
Because they weren't nuts.
We've had now a couple. And Democrats are going to keep running out the clock here, denying President Trump the confirmed secretaries for his departments. I think it's pretty grotesque. From my standpoint, this is exactly why we may want to and have to use recess appointments.
Well, for one thing, everybody's been approved so far.
And there's like four so far that have been approved.
Except for, Gates.
Yeah, well, he dropped out.
Right.
So,
but I mean, so far, everyone else has been approved,
and
right?
We're a week in, so.
What's the rush, Ron?
Also, I think Ron loves to drop such aggressive language.
Grotesque.
I mean, he is just so. I mean, talk about a guy who cannot get things done. And now he wants to do recess appointments because he. I don't know. To me, personally, recess appointments are what you do when you can't succeed. You know what I mean? Like let's do a recess.
It's called going around the process.
Exactly. And I really feel like Ron Johnson, if he just, I don't know, waited another week, he'll see a lot more confirmations go through. I mean, Sean Duffy right now is probably going to be confirmed as the next transportation secretary.
Without a doubt. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later on. Sean Duffy's going to sail right through.
But I guess because
he's been on roads.
I guess because all of the confirmation appointments were confirmed at 12:02 on Monday afternoon. I guess it's a liberal conspiracy of grotesque and disgusting values from the Looney Tunes left, old tin hat Ronnie's talking about.
Yeah. And what's interesting is that Senator Ron Johnson, upset about this seeming slow pace of getting Trump's nominees confirmed. Not a problem here at home in Wisconsin.
Oh, God.
Where, by the way, he never is.
No, no.
When do we ever see Ron Johnson out at a county fair? When do we ever see Ron Johnson doing anything on the ground in Wisconsin?
That's all Glenn Grothman's job. He handles all the fairs.
Well, the breakfast.
Fries.
He does the breakfast.
He loves a pancake breakfast.
Who doesn't love a good farm breakfast? Yeah, but again, Ron has no problem with the Republicans in Wisconsin sitting on Governor Evers' appointments year after year after year.
7 years.
7 years.
Yeah.
And how many of his appointees have actually been confirmed? A handful.
A handful, and some of his appointees have been fired just because.
Right. They don't have to have cause. They can fire these people because they have not been confirmed. They can get rid of them for any reason. I don't like your hair.
I just want to know, Ron Johnson, do you find that grotesque? Do you find that gross, disgusting? But like,
does that bother you at all?
Did it bother you when you wouldn't go for Supreme Court nominations after Scalia died? Like, I'm not a huge fan of whataboutisms, But in the situation here where you can look from A to B, the same situations where he's upset about something but had no problem in the same situation when it benefited him.
Absolutely.
That's where I have the problem. The double standard, this continuous double standard we're talking about where the GOP gets to do whatever they want, and the moment you call them out, you are a traitor, you are un-American, you don't love the people. But the moment you try to stand up, or the moment that you try to get something done, you are the worst person ever. Worst person ever for even thinking that women should have access to minimal health care. I'm not talking about pie in the sky, what I think we should get. Minimal health care. How dare you politicize this?
Yeah, I know. It's terrible. Talking about Trump's sweeping pardons for the January 6th traitors, Senator Johnson says he would have been more cautious. Quote, oh, this is his new favorite word. There was a grotesque miscarriage of justice throughout the Biden administration. Certainly as it relates to people that took part in January 6th, a lot of that injustice had to be rectified. I would probably have gone at it a little more cautiously. But in the end, I think President Trump said, let's just pardon them all. Yes, that's what he did. He said, let's just pardon them all, because it was too onerous for his staff to go case by case. It's too much work.
I think there was an expletive and then said, just do it. And it's funny how all of these Republicans, all these Trumpian Republicans now are saying, well, I wouldn't have done it that way. Didn't you have access to someone in the staff to make a call and say, maybe this isn't the best idea? Maybe this isn't something that you want on your plate right now, surrounding all the controversy.
But if they do that, then they're not in the inner circle.
Well, exactly. But
you can't do that.
But hindsight is, of course, the best place to make commentary on what has happened and you have no control over. But, you know, Ron maybe would have done it a little differently.
Ron says, I don't have a real problem. I think the people who did commit violent acts, and we're talking about January 6th, I'm not sure I would have pardoned them, but I think they served jail time, and you have to really take a look at what jail time they served versus, for example, violent criminals in New York and California that are just being let out on the streets. Donald Trump just left 1,500 criminals out on our streets.
They love to make it seem like on Tuesday the warden comes in and unlocks the big lock and says, all right, you're free. Enjoy California and the sun. That's not how it works. And also, that 1,500, in that 1,500, some of them were pretty violent people. They beat up cops. And I thought you loved cops.
Right.
So why is it such a thing to say, well, I guess we got to look at California. Once again, let's not focus on the issue.
Exactly.
Let's talk about California.
Let's look over here to divert people from the actual issue.
Yeah, well, he likes sunny places. He doesn't live here where, you know, he lives in Florida.
He has his nice Florida compound. Exactly. So yeah.
He wants to take care of the sunny places.
Of course he does. We have more on the way. Stay with us. And don't forget, you can always chime in at 855-752-4842. Keep it right here. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. She don't mean no harm, she just don't know what else to do about it. Jane says,
News from the Center, WRCE.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Eyezervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Eyezervay gets GA. get going slower.
Izervay or Avacincaptad Pegol is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
The Todd Alba Show.
The argument from my former party has been, it's not the guns, it's mental health. Well, no worries, folks. Governor Evers has got you covered. He introduced a plan to put millions of dollars into mental health, particularly for young kids. And the Republicans in the chamber did not clap. If you can't be it for kids, then what the heck can you be for? Jeepers, criminy.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, and the Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. After the 10:30 news, our colleague and friend Maggie Dawn going to be joining us from the Maggie Dawn Show. We're going to talk about Donald Trump firing, 15 inspectors general late Friday night. So, again, a lot of things get missed in that late Friday news dump. And also, more firings.
Yes.
More firings. So we'll be kicking that around with Maggie Dawn after 10:30. Right now, though, we wanted to talk about former Wisconsin Representative Sean Duffy is undergoing his confirmation hearing as we speak. He is widely expected to get confirmation.
Oh, yeah.
Even Senator Tammy Baldwin said, quote, "At the end of the day, I am confident that Sean is the right person for this job in this upcoming administration. I believe he will help deliver for Wisconsin families, businesses, and workers. And I expect that he will work through this committee and both sides of the aisle to improve our infrastructure and address the challenges that arise in the years ahead." Senator Baldwin added she is proud to introduce him to the committee.
I'm sorry, but no.
Well, he's been on roads.
He thinks
he was on Road Rules,
he
right?
Roads
what, whatever. Rule. What was the reality show he was on?
Hey, show some respect. He was on Real World and Road Rules.
Well,
he did double duty. And
far more than I've ever achieved.
His favorite ice cream? Elephant Tracks. Thought I was going to say Rocky Roads, didn't you? I didn't. I do not enjoy political fluff of that manner. And man, I'm sorry, but Tammy Baldwin, you are serving up some political fluff right now. I don't care. I said it.
But I do think that it's called hedging your bets. And if you want him to actually do things on behalf of Wisconsinites, then to some extent, you have to make nice.
Jane.
Don't you?
Jane.
Yes.
Jane.
What?
When did you become naive? That is a naive thing to say, I think. You think if by them playing nice, Tammy Baldwin playing nice, that they will care at all about Wisconsin?
No, but I think if you take a very hostile posture, you're even less likely to get anything done on behalf of your constituents.
Let me clear. I don't think she should have said anything hostile. I just think the amount of fluff in that statement.
The glowing remarks.
It was a little much for my liking. Tammy Baldwin's smart, very smart politically.
She should have scaled it back a little.
Just a little bit. Like, hey, I voted for him because X, Y, Z. But this was like, roll that red carpet out and glitter and angels. And his wife could have been behind him going, we have nine children. Did you know we have nine children?
I guess it would have been great if she had come out and said, well, it could be worse.
Yeah, it could be Bob Jr. for everything.
Yeah, which brings us to our next part of this. Yes, the confirmation hearing for Robert Kennedy Jr.
Bob Jr.
is going to happen tomorrow. Kennedy will first appear at the Senate Committee on Finance. The panel will ultimately be the one with the deciding vote on whether or not his nomination to be the Secretary of Health and Human Services will go on to the full Senate. He does have to get a majority of senators to be confirmed to head the HHS, which encompasses all of America's federal health agencies.
I don't know who's worse, honestly. Well, no, I think Bob Jr. is worse. Pete Hegseth is terrible.
Yes.
Is a terrible nomination, terrible choice. I'm going to say it right now. He will be a terrible secretary.
Yes.
If he lasts. Bob Jr. is dangerous.
I agree. And considering in the wake of decisions that have already come out of the Trump administration, like withdrawing from the World Health Organization, like stopping all communications from our national health agencies in the middle of the avian flu, this should make people go, this seems not good.
No, but that's the problem is when does it, at what point of bad does it have to be bad for people to finally, who were excited for them to say, no, this is bad. I don't think it exists because they can't admit fault.
Well, tragically, I think you have a point, but I think once it affects them personally,
yeah,
then it will change. When their sister or husband dies from, I don't know, bird flu.
Yeah.
Once it comes home, it might be a different story. I don't think he's going to sail through quite as easily as Sean Duffy has.
I don't think so either. And I don't think, and honestly, even as easily as Pete Hegseth did. I mean, with the exception of some.
Don't even mention their names.
No. I was going to say, with the exception of a few senators who got in his face about a certain things, he sailed right through.
Easy breezy. Yeah. Calvin, do you want to jump in here?
I was just going to comment about you saying maybe they will wake up when, I don't know, maybe someone in their family dies from bird flu. I'm just going to push back and say that won't even be enough. Because, I mean, I've heard stories of people who were hospitalized with COVID and they still were saying, oh, well, that's Fauci's making stuff up.
You make a very good point. And yeah, we can look at one of Wisconsin's own lawmakers, Andre Jacques.
Yes.
Who was on a ventilator with COVID. And yet when he got out of the hospital, if I recall correctly, and if I'm not, correct me, please, he thanked God, not the doctors and nurses who treated him.
It's when you say things like that, I just think to myself, where do we live?
It's America.
And he gets to make $174,000 a year. Not him. He's not a congressman. Sorry. No. But still, like, he has power.
And he gets a full-time salary for a part-time job, which really isn't too bad. Some supporters do say, you know, like Bob Kennedy Jr. for questioning ultra-processed foods and food additives and dyes. I think that's all valid. The concern about processed foods and the food additives and dyes, if you compare labels to things made in the U.S. compared to things made in other countries, we have a whole bunch more junk in our food.
I totally agree with you. My question is, how is he going to, in a Trump White House, fight against these huge corporations with massive money and massive lobbies to make food healthier? That's the question I have.
Good question. News is coming up next. When we return, Maggie Dawn will be here. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast statewide, countrywide. We are global. If you've got the app, Civic Media Radio Network, don't go away.
Drive my car.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The Richland Area Retired Educators Association rewarded one of its chapter school districts, Prairie du Chien, and the Richland Center Santa Teresa Sister City Project with its annual distribution of school supplies. RAREA has a long-standing commitment each December to collect school supplies for an annual distribution to two of its designated pre-K through 12 districts as a service project. Five large boxes were delivered to Prairie du Chien worth an estimated $350. The Sister City Project received a check for $350 that will be sent to Santa Teresa, Nicaragua for a school supplies purchase. The next RAREA collection and distribution will be designated for the Ithaca and Weston school districts with a projected distribution in mid-February 2025. April 15th is the individual deadline to file Wisconsin and federal income tax forms. However, that doesn't mean you must wait until April to get started. The individual income tax filing season begins today. This year, the Wisconsin Department of Revenue has several options for filing, including Direct File, an online service that allows eligible taxpayers to file directly with the IRS. The service now integrates with WisTax, allowing taxpayers to easily file state taxes as well. Also new this year, more qualifying expenses and increased maximum allowable credit amount for the Wisconsin Child and Dependent Care Credit. Tax filers are encouraged to visit the DOR website's individuals page to find answers to common questions, forms and instructions, tax credit information, payment options, instructional videos, and other resources. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. There are all kinds of benefits to having a younger host of Wheel of Fortune, especially when it comes to explaining internet slang to your letter-turning co-host, Vanna White. Vanna White posted a picture of her and her son cooking together on social media, which brought her son lots of attention, with people referring to the picture as a thirst trap. Not judging, because I had to Google it myself, but White said she had no idea what that was, but luckily, her young whippersnapper 50-year-old co-host, Ryan Seacrest, set everyone straight. Say what you want about Jennifer Lopez, but she is a showbiz juggernaut. The pop icon actress, who has a tendency to make headlines for all the wrong reason, just righted the ship with a standing ovation after a screening of her new film at the Sundance Film Festival. Lopez stars in the second film adaptation of the novel Kiss of the Spider Woman. Jenny from the Block says this old-fashioned musical version of the film is one she's always wanted to make, and that witnessing a standing ovation actually made her dream come true. How can that awful Ben Affleck not love her? For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Windy and warm today. With mostly sunny skies, winds will whip up to 40 miles per hour, shoving our high temperatures to near 50 degrees. Overnight, winds switch to out of the northwest, becoming blustery and cooling us down just a touch tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
It's 33 at our studios.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. It's Tuesday Tangents with our friend Luke Mathers. Find out what's grinding his gears and more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calviente on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call and or text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Coming up on our next guest show in the 2 o'clock, 2 to 4, across the network, Maggie Dawn will be heading to Madison to sit down with former Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn to talk about the upcoming Wisconsin Supreme Court race. Maggie Dawn joins us live right now. Good morning, my friend. How you doing?
I've had better mornings, Jane, if I'm being
I'll leave. That's fine. I'll leave. It's fine.
Yeah. Greg, it's all your fault. Gosh darn it. You too, Calvin. I hear far too much from you, Cal.
What in particular is making your morning difficult?
I would say, being a lawyer in government for many, many years, having served a federal appeals court judge as a clerk, a two-time Reagan appointee, Article III federal judge, what occurred last night and the firing of basically career prosecutors, not the big names that you hear about, like the U.S. attorney of thus and such. That's not who Trump fired yesterday. It's not like the firing of Jack Smith.
Right.
It's not the firing of an attorney general. Those are political appointments. Those people are fireable. Okay. That's just the way it is. But Trump fired civil servant career prosecutors from the Department of Justice yesterday evening. And he fired them because they, likely under orders of their bosses at the time, were assigned to and were functioning under the direct supervision of their then supervisors with respect to the Donald Trump January 6th and super secret spy documents stealing case. And he's fired them all. The first issue is that's not legally permitted. It's totally illegal. Those are civil servants, and there are civil service protections. And this is beyond. People are all a flutter yesterday about the IGs getting fired, which is really bad. But ultimately, IGs do serve at the pleasure of the president. There's just more process that has to go into it, notice to Congress, and frankly, a statement of some sort of substantive good cause, which can easily be met. This is different. This is not analogous to the IGs. These are people that have certain job protections written into law. He ignored those and fired them all. It is, as he promised, political retribution. This was not the only thing that disturbed me greatly, Jane and Greg and Cal and all of you out there. What is getting missed in some of the headlines that are focused on the firing is that they've also announced the opening of a confidential internal investigation into all of the J6 related prosecutions. Okay, so what does that mean? That means that something that the DOJ, without any transparency or sunshine or sunlight, is now going to pick whom, undisclosed, to investigate presumably other career civil servant prosecutors across the country, because J6 prosecutions are across the country. So the internal investigation announcement was not limited to the two Donald Trump cases that were proceeding in the federal Department of Justice. It is more broad than that. And I'm going to put a marker down in my show today. I'm going to make a prediction, and you guys are not going to want to miss the prediction that I make about this. And I can only just share this analogy with you, Jane and Greg. You both know that I served as Milwaukee County's Corporation Counsel mm-hmm. for well over 7 years. And in the course of those duties, I was involved in a lot of headline-making litigation, not just the opioids, not just looking at suing Big Oil and the PFAS manufacturer. Went on and on. But the cases that I probably will be most remembered for, whether for good or bad, was my defense, as was my job duty as the county's lead lawyer, of Milwaukee County's election commission when we were sued by the Trump campaign in 2020 after we had completed a recount requested by the Trump campaign.
Yep.
To bring this home to everyone listening, what Donald Trump has done yesterday would be like me getting fired from my job for doing my job. Not because I was bad at it, but because my job involved opposing the Trump campaign in 2020, I would lose my job. Though that was the exact, I'm Milwaukee County's lead lawyer. I'm defending the county in the course of civil litigation. That is legit, the exact job description. It would be like me losing my job and then facing a criminal investigation by either the district attorney of Milwaukee County or the state attorney general, an investigation by whom I wouldn't know who to respond to. I would just be in some state of both fired and potentially under criminal investigation. Talk about sending a chilling message to every frontline law enforcement prosecutor who is responsible for human trafficking, drug trafficking, gang crimes. And here's the message. Do not follow the facts and the law wherever they may lead without fear or favor. No, be afraid.
Yes.
Be very afraid. Be afraid every day. And do not dare cross me because I will put you in the crosshairs and maybe see you in jail for doing your job.
And correct me if
that's what happened yesterday.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Maggie, but this is directly out of Project 2025.
Correct.
There are several things that have happened in just the last 7-8 days that are directly out of Project 2025 that we talked about for months leading up to the election. And of course, Donald Trump said, I haven't read it, but there are parts of it I don't like. How he couldn't like parts if he hadn't read it, I will never understand. But whatever, no one ever holds him to any kind of logical standard. But they are implementing Project 2025 little bits at a time. And
that's the way it always works, right? It's never a light switch. It's like
little by little. So it's not going to be quite as noticeable. It's not going to be quite as until the whole thing has been implemented. And then we're going to wake up in an entirely different world. But going back to Donald Trump firing all these career prosecutors, the Department of Justice operates independently of the president, correct?
Yeah, we're going to have to make a law about that, Jane. Clearly this is where we're at. So I say to every MAGA supporter and Trump supporter, I respect your right to disagree with the Biden administration. I respect your right to question the motivation of certain prosecutions. I respect your desire to see a Department of Justice that isn't weaponized based on political beliefs. I agree with you in that last point. And here's the only way to ensure that going forward, that the Department of Justice and the FBI have to make in law have to be sealed off to make independent law enforcement and prosecutorial decisions free from political interference from either Congress or the President of the United States with some very specified oversight mechanism. This, you know, Republicans were saying back when we were freaking out about Project 2025, oh, it's Democrats freaking out. Of course he wouldn't do all this. Yeah, he is doing that.
Yes.
And he is doing that.
And he was always going to do that. Look at Russ Vogt, who is now the head of the Office of Budget Management, right? He's right in the administration. He's one of the authors of Project 2025. And what blows
And I'm going to talk about the memo that went out last night at about 5 o'clock that's basically shutting down grant monies coming from the OMB, right? That is sending governments, not just at the federal level, not just executive branch agency, but state and local governments, because all those grant monies trickle down, basically into complete, utter chaos, panic today. I got calls and emails late last night from friends across government and across jurisdictional levels last night. Like, what should we do?
What does
this
mean?
Maggie, are you working on a response? Yes, it is bad, bad, bad.
We're going to get to that in our second segment with you. Maggie Dawn, by the way, is our guest. You can catch her show across the network 2 to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. Going back to the January 6th and even the other cases with Donald Trump stealing classified documents and Donald Trump being behind the January 6th attack on the Capitol. What blows my mind, Maggie, is that, you know, these claims that Biden weaponized the Justice Department, these required grand juries, correct? Yes. So for people who do not know, because I'm not in the legal profession and some of this stuff is real amorphous to me, but if you are selected to be part of a grand jury, you are presented with evidence about this specific case, and then it is your job to determine whether there is not enough evidence to take it further to trial. Is that accurate?
Yes. Now, there's an old saying that you can get a grand jury to indict a ham sandwich. Okay. This speaks to the overwhelming power of the state when it seeks to prosecute someone. And I would ask everyone that's listening to look back very candidly on your life. And unless you have lived the life of a saint, there is something that you have done that a federal prosecutor properly motivated by political animus could charge you for and get an indictment for. That said, what's more dispositive of this question of did the Biden administration weaponize the Department of Justice is this. Two facts. One, he permitted the prosecution of his son to continue. Yes, he pardoned him, but it was like after the most damaging, embarrassing trial had gone forward. He didn't interrupt the special prosecutor's investigation
right.
of his son.
Right.
He didn't interrupt the special prosecutor's investigation of him when he was questioned about his handling of classified documents after he left the vice presidency. Okay, so he didn't intervene in any of those cases. Fact three, maybe you've got more than two facts. Fact three, Merrick Garland slow rolled and didn't move forward on those special prosecutors for what liberal lawyers will call an unconscionably long
yes.
period of time. They didn't charge Donald Trump with seditious conspiracy. Jack Smith withheld that charge. That would have been the top level charge. Okay, they didn't charge him with treason. And oh yeah, this, when it comes to all the J6 prosecutions, the people that were found guilty did so by either entering a plea, so they admitted their guilt.
Yep.
Those pleas were voluntary. They had representation of counsel. Okay. Trump judges oversaw many of those cases, Trump-appointed judges. And three, the other people that were found guilty were done so by a jury of their peers. So I move beyond the grand jury just to avoid that pushback and say, ultimately, those that were tried before juries were convicted by juries. And jury verdicts are not easy to get, especially in these kinds of prosecutions, but for overwhelmingly clear evidence, which was heard and challenged in a court of law.
And not to mention the number of defendants who pled guilty and essentially said, I was there because Donald Trump told me to be there. I did this for him. More than one of those defendants said that.
Yes, because that's true. I've mentioned this on my show before. There's an old adage. I don't know whether it was said by a theologian or a philosopher, but it says sometimes you have to just say the thing you know to be true, and it will have authority because it is true. It has that ring of truth. Let's call a spade here. This is Retribution. This is Project 2025 in action. The people who are convicted related to January 6th, as well as the prosecution of the president, the investigation and prosecution of the current president was based in facts and evidence. Evidence which this president has kept the American public from seeing get tested in a court of law. If I was innocent, I'd want my day in court. Why not this president too, sir?
And the number of Republicans who are coming out and saying this is perfectly fine because the Department of Justice is there to enact the Trump agenda. No, they're
no, it's not.
No, that's not why they're there to enact the president's agenda. Their goal, their job is to enact the rule of law. We're going to continue our conversation with Maggie Dawn. If you want to join us, Jack, I see you on the line, 855-752-4842. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the center, WRCE.
Hey, it's me time at Chula Vista. Time for you to pamper yourself. Wisconsin's most complete resort experience has everything you want. Fine-tuned for 70 years by four generations of the Kaminsky family, Chula Vista can be easygoing with colorful scenic river walks, 18 holes of classic golf, a relaxing spa, or you can go all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park. Zip lining through canyon views in Chula's Aerial Adventure Park. And dining comes any way you like it. From pizza to Wisconsin's number one ranked steakhouse. More than 600 guest rooms to choose from with $10 million in updates. Chula Vista, everything you've been wanting, all right here on site. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Miles and miles of freshly groomed cross-country and hiking trails. Ski, sled, snowshoe. Warm up at our indoor water park. ChulaVistaResort.com.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. My savings tip for today is about meal planning. I know you've heard of it, but let's talk about it. Meal planning will save you money, it reduces impulse purchases, it helps you not waste food, and it may be the very best thing you can do to cut back on your weekly spending. It also helps cut back the number of arguments we have in my house about what's for dinner. A writer of a recent Reader's Digest article said that she saved herself $500 a month on meal planning. I mean, we all eat differently, but those are some real savings. I know, meal planning can be a pain. So I reward myself with a treat while I plan. A beer, some ice cream, maybe a recipe magazine. And in my house, the planner does not have to be the shopper. That's real motivation. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
Good morning, welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Sweet Gal B on the board, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, you can call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have been talking about Donald Trump firing a number of career prosecutors from the Justice Department. Jack from Merrimack has been very patient. Thanks for joining us, Jack. What do you want to say?
Thank you for taking my call. Yeah, this is like electing Al Capone to office, and Capone, you know, would have pardoned all of his minions, except this is worse, because this is a guy that fomented a coup against the Constitution and the government of the United States, and because of the political cowardice of people like Garland and others, he was never prosecuted for this. They never got him into a courtroom so people could see the very clear evidence that was shown by the January 6th Select Committee. Is shown in the evidence during the impeachment trial. And even McConnell in February of 2021 said that Trump was both practically and morally responsible for what happened on January 6th. I mean, people knew this. They and people reelected this guy to office. Now, you can my progressive friends, some of them even said, "Well, he's not going to be able to do all that stuff in Project 2025." And a couple of my conservative friends said, "Oh, no, this is not going to happen. You know, he's just going to be a very conservative president." No, it's going to happen. That's what's really frightening.
Yep, you're absolutely right, Jack. And we heard from people who said, "Well, no one I know has read about Project 2025, therefore it's not a thing." So, okay, just because you haven't heard about it and you haven't researched it, therefore it is not important. It ain't no big thing. Thank you, Jack. Really appreciate you checking in. On the live stream, we have a comment from Eric in Wauwatosa. I'm just trying to find it here. Steve Bannon told all of us in 2016 that they would deconstruct the administrative state. We can't still be shocked about this. Yeah, apparently, Eric, we are.
Well, the whole thing was to give, and Maggie, correct me if I'm wrong, this whole thing was always to give the executive branch as much, if not all, the power, at least have it all flowing through one office, the Oval Office.
Yeah, that's clearly the end game here, but I think it's actually broader than the consolidation of executive branch power, which we have been on a long march towards for years. And let me just pause there for a second. One of the reasons that I would even say, beginning with GW and then more with Obama and then more with each subsequent president, the consolidation of power in the executive branch has been the utter dysfunction of Congress, especially the House of Representatives, as the Supreme Court continued to permit partisan and race-based gerrymandering to screw up our congressional districts and make them so rabidly blue or red that it made members, especially in the House of Representatives, disincentivized to any level of compromise. When you do that, everyone takes more extreme positions, less gets done because compromise isn't a necessity for retaining your office seat. Remember, the number one thing that every elected official is worried about is either getting reelected to the seat I have or getting elected to the next one. I want.
Yeah.
Right? And if there are no incentives that provide any reward for compromise, and in fact, there's disincentives and all of the rewards are to become more partisan, more nuts, and do less compromise. So the executive branch consolidation of power, that ain't new. We've been going that way because Congress has been dysfunctional for so long. What's new here is the lawlessness of the seizure of power, that there are no laws that can constrain me. In fact, I will enact both executive orders and take actions like firing these career prosecutors that are illegal, that are known to be illegal. I am daring anyone to stop me, including every member of Congress, including the Senate. Forget all of the rules. Forget all of the laws. I am going to do what I want and no one can stop me. That's what's different, because it has no bounds. It has no limits. And that is the point.
Well, and they're all on board. All the Republicans are completely on board. I haven't seen anybody do any kind of pushback except the flaccid pushback from Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins. And as far as I'm concerned, they should just both go away. But
day late, dollar short.
Yeah,
Have you been?
Well, and I knew this was going to happen. They wanted to look good, and so they voted against him, knowing he was going to get confirmed anyway.
Anyway.
It was always going to happen. So, yeah, that... We don't have time, unfortunately, to talk about the White House pausing federal grants and loans as of 5 o'clock tonight and the massive, massive ramifications this could have. From what I'm seeing this morning, Maggie, everything from Meals on Wheels to the Head Start program to all kinds of things, the fallout from this is going to be massive. And I know you will be covering this on your show later on today, correct?
I shall, both this and the firing of the career prosecutors and the opening of an investigation to, you know, make sure that everyone that works in the Department of Justice, which is supposed to be objective and fair, is now, quote, serving the president's agenda, which has never been a thing, nor should it ever be a thing.
Join Maggie Dawn today, 2 to 4 p.m. across the network. Thank you so very much, my friend. Really, really appreciate your time. News coming up next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, we go overtime with Maggie Dawn. Plus, Wisconsin Republicans want to limit Governor Evers' veto powers. Why did they do it when they had the majorities under former Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. There's confusion over federal funding and grants after the White House Budget Office ordered all aid paused to review whether it complies with President Trump's executive orders. ABC's chief Washington correspondent Jonathan Carl says
this directive may be the most far-reaching executive action this White House has taken yet. It could potentially halt hundreds of billions of dollars in federal spending on everything from assistance to farmers to Head Start programs to disaster relief and public transportation.
Social Security and Medicare, the only programs exempt from the order. Higher profile immigration enforcement continues. Federal agents said they made nearly 1,200 arrests on Monday. The Senate could vote today on confirming Sean Duffy as transportation secretary. There will be a new senator from Michigan after Democrat Gary Peters says he will not run for re-election next year. And after Monday's sell-off, shares in NVIDIA are trading higher. This is ABC News.